It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it is your old buddy Luke Clayton, and believe it or not, it's already Saturday again. It's time for us to spend a little time and visit, talk about the outdoors and fun stuff. This is one of my favorite parts of the week. I will let all of you know, if you're not up early, you know, at 5 o'clock on Saturday mornings, which I know a lot of you are probably not, but if you're going fishing or wherever, you can listen, you know, listen on the radio as we are live there. But if not, just remember, you could go to ketr.org, local programs. Just click on Luke's show. We've been here for, I think, 7 years doing this every week. You can listen anytime. And there's shows that we've done as far back as, I think, 7 years ago there at ketr.org. So the internet is a good thing. You can talk about fun stuff anytime you want to and listen to the shows. Today, I want us just to continue our relaxed mode here and not get real serious about any serious topics, but guide Seth Vanover, a good friend of mine, is with us. He's been our guest many, many times. And I thought it'd be fun just to talk about fishing in general. You know, we can give a few particulars on Lake Fork and whatnot during our show today, but just fishing in general. Seth, I appreciate you enduring my lengthy opener here, but I know you're ready to talk about some fishing.
Always ready to talk about that.
Always ready. Well, you know, your life as a fishing guide, I've had many friends. Some of my best friends have been hunting and fishing guides through the years, and I put you right up there at the top as a good friend. But, you know, I've had so many people tell me about what I do and about what you do. You know, wow, man, Luke, you know, you're an outdoor writer. All you do is just go around and hunt and fish some of the neat places and write about it. Well, that's true. You know, I'm not going to deny that. How else could I be an informed outdoor journalist for you if I didn't do it? I do. I hunt and fish a good bit. But that's not the, as Paul Harvey used to say, that's not the rest of the story, even in my work. You know, I'm out there. If I don't get the pictures I need, well, my assignment for a particular magazine, it's not going to work. You know, these editors have already told me, Luke, we need this, this, and this. And they'll even send some samples, what they're looking for. And regardless how good the words are, Seth, you know, how well I write or another writer writes, the story's not done until the art is there, the picture. So, you know, that's what my buddies don't see, that part. It's just old Luke out there having a ball, taking pictures, catching fish, shooting, whatever. But it's the behind-the-scenes things that people don't really see unless they do it. Same with a fishing guide. How many friends have told me, and I know all of your friends say, dang, Seth, man, you've got it made. All you do is fish for a living. It's not fishing like they see fishing, is it, really? You know?
There's so much more involved. It's just not showing up at the dock, going out and catching fish. I mean, that's about 5% of it. There is just so much more involved. Making sure the fish are where they're supposed to be, how they're biting, making sure your clients can get on them, cleaning the fish, cleaning your boat. There's just so much more to it. Yes, the fishing is fun. It's great. I love it. But that's a small part of it.
Well put, Seth. And then when someone hires the services of a fishing guide or a hunting, I can talk a little bit about it from the hunting guide aspect, because I still do that for up in Colorado some for elk and bear, you know. But when they hire the services of a guide, I think I have found it to be extremely important on the hunting side of guiding to have a heart-to-heart talk with these people and be brutally honest. You know, this is our seventh year of guiding up in the mountains, you know, and I'm still actively guiding. I will do some this year too. But to be honest with them, you know, and it's the same with fishing. You know, a guy might say, well, what's the percentages of killing an elk with a bow? That is a very loaded question.
Extremely loaded.
And it's one that you cannot answer with a pat answer. There's so many variables involved. The elk is one of them. You know, I mean, we hunt in the highest density, one of the highest densities of elk in the continental U.S. up in north of Steamboat near Wyoming border. But it's a good comparison to what you do. You know, are they going to kill an elk, every one of them? Absolutely not. Not going to happen. And I tell them that. Some of them think, well, man, you know, I've had them say, well, that doesn't sound too good. It's really good. You know, it's really good. But what the percentages of guys that come in, and fishing is the same way, I think, Seth, come in with a positive attitude. And from the start, when they book a trip with a guide, they better not be unhappy if they don't bring 4 gallons of fillets away, or if they don't catch a 12.5-pound bass. They should enjoy, go in with the mindset to enjoy the outing, the whole deal, the camp life. If you're up in the mountains hunting elk with a bow and bear, the camp life, the food, and don't, you know, I'm not saying don't set your expectations high, but go in with a positive attitude, and from the time you start fishing or that first day of hunting, have a positive attitude, Seth. That goes farther, I found, than anything else that will help people, you know?
It really does, and going back to what you're saying, or just being brutally honest with folks, and if the fishing's bad or the hunting's bad, tell them. You know, and just explain to them. People would be surprised. They like the honesty more than anything. If I tell you, hey, the fishing's bad, well, we're not going to do that well, then they appreciate that more than, hey, we're going to go out there and kill them and we catch 2 fish or no fish, which that's never happened. But, you know, you just have a bad day. They appreciate the honesty.
And, you know, honestly, from a business standpoint, or – you know, I mean, it's the way it is business. I mean, if someone pays you money to go hunt a bear or go hunt an elk or whatever, or go catch a cooler full of catfish, well, they have a right to ask, well, what's it like? I mean, you know, they're laying out some cash to do something that they think they want to do. And it's only fair, you know, from a business standpoint, to give them a real good expectation to what to expect. And then I always do. I tell them, I say, you know, if you'll hang with us 5 days and do what we say and stay there with it, your chances of getting a bow shot at an elk are very, very good. It may not be a 400-inch. It won't be a 400-inch bull. But, you know, realistically, a 260, 300-inch bull, very, very likely, you know. But I've had people that, and I bet in the fishing world it's the same. I've had people say on the phone, you know, they sound like they're ready to roll, you know, ready to spend a month up there if need be. But when they get there, the first day they don't see an elk, it gets cold or it gets hot. You know, I mean, yep. In the midday, it sometimes in early September, it gets warm. Or, you know, or they just get wet. Say a mountain storm comes in, they get wet and they're uncomfortable. They haven't seen an elk. I have seen them after about a couple, 3 days of being uncomfortable, that positive attitude goes south. So you really need to know what you're getting into. You need to know if that's what you want to do in the outdoors. Fishing may be a little bit differently because you're going to be out, 4 or 5 hours? But now you're going to be out in some – you can be out in some kind of uncomfortable conditions, can't you?
Right now, I mean, the fishing's great, but the only thing that keeps your mind off the weather is because the fishing is great. I mean, it is just steamy hot. It's funky, especially you catch a day with no wind, but it does help your mind stay off of it because the rod's been pretty much the whole time on catfish. But still, I mean, it's just, it can get miserable out there.
It,
but that's just this time of year.
It is. Well, say we want to catch, we'll get into the catching part of it now, Seth. And folks, Seth is on his cell phone, and we have a pretty good reception, but the nature of this beast that we do, sometimes we don't have the best sound quality because of, you know, recording. But Seth, the trick on catfish, kind of give our listeners an idea. You don't have to be there all the time and keep a couple of holes always baited with grain. That helps, but you don't have to do that to catch catfish, do you?
You really don't, especially on fork right now. Just find some good timber, something you can tie to, hopefully an umbrella or some kind of bimini top for your boat. That'll help. In about 20 to no more than 30 foot of water, throw out some range cubes and just hold on.
Seth, how important is it being quiet? In other words, when you've got a hole baited with grain, or say you're going to go bait a hole, say you bait two or three holes when you first get out to the lake with range cubes or soured grain, whatever you're using, how important is it to be quiet, you know, to kind of approach and not be throwing anchors in the water, all that kind of stuff? I know you use the stump ring that you've invented, really, that's ideal for quietly anchoring a boat. You just take the ring and set it over a stump, and bingo, you're already there. But you do need to be, you don't need to make excess noise, do you?
Yeah, the last thing you want to do is drop an anchor.
Right.
You really don't want to do that, especially on fork, because you're liable to come up with no anchor. But that causes a lot of disturbance down in the water that you really don't need. There's plenty of places to tie up to without making a whole lot of racket. You know, and you want to go in there somewhat quiet. You don't want to have your engine tilted all the way up, kicking a bunch of water. Just, you know, use some common sense approaches to it, but definitely don't drop anchors down.
Exactly. And we do have time to describe the stump ring. Describe that to folks. It makes positioning a boat or keeping a boat in place way easy. Kind of describe that to our listeners, Seth. Tell them how it works.
It's literally what you said, a stump ring. It's a steel ring. They're different sizes. I use a 14 inch in diameter ring that has two chains on it. And the beauty about these things, especially like on places on fork or any place that has a lot of cover, you just don't have the stumps don't have to be out of the water. They can be 2 and 3 foot under the water. As long as you can see them, the weight of this ring being a steel ring, you can drop it right on that stump and you're there.
That's it. And we used it, you use it every day, but last week, and some of those stumps were, a good foot and a half under the water. You could see them, and you just eased up there, just kind of like pitching a ring, you know. That's what it was, and let it drop.
Throwing a washer.
Throwing a washer, yeah. Drop right down on top of that stump, and then if there's any wind at all, it'll bring your boat about on a rope there, you know, and bingo, you're set and ready to fish. A good punch bait's always good. I know you used the stubbies. It's a cheese based bait, but they were tearing it up down at Fork. That's what you use. On a number four hook works pretty good. Sometimes people go to a six, but I've really had more luck with a four. Seth, man, I wish we had two more hours to talk about hunting and fishing, but we are out of time. We'll put your website there on KETR.org with our show where people can contact you. Do you have a number where people could give you a buzz?
You bet. It's 903-736-4557.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at KETR.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.